5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We're proud every day to say we represent your same common sense conservative values delivered by a mom. Simple as that. We got Congress acting like children. We have children in this country looking to the adults getting shafted because the adults are behaving like children. All the while, we have multiple wars around the world, which we're funding. We have a demented, decrepit, senile president who thinks he's going to get elected again. We have a former president who's gotten everything thrown at him and still manages to fight for you and for me and for all of the American people. And we're left wondering, what else can go wrong? Well, we're going to walk through that door together, ladies and gentlemen. Wendy Bell Radio Network app, great place to watch the live stream. Also on Newsmax, the second 2 hours. Love having you guys. Thank you for being here. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. So we got a big weekend coming up, a couple weekends from now. The six of us are flying out to California to see our son Jack graduate with a film degree from Loyola Marymount High School in L.A., not far from the airport. What did I say? High school, college, beg your pardon. Thanks, Brock. There are going to be 13 of us there. My mom, my dad, my sister, her husband, their two sons, Joe, me, and our five. Two daughters, seven grandsons. And you know, it's hard when you get together to not think about this might be the last time it's all of us. You don't like to think like that. I think like that. The seven boys range in age, 24 down to 15. I had a son, my sister had a son. I had one, she had one, then I had three more. And they're good. They're good boys. And we're gonna go out to dinner the night of his graduation. And I'm gonna wanna say something. And I want to congratulate him. He took some detours in life. He went against what even his parents had thought he was going to do. And he took charge of his life at a young age and he went after what he wanted. He's traveled through a lot of the world. He's maintained a 3.98 grade point average and has dreams of directing, producing, screenwriting movies. And he will. And he will be brilliant. And I want to say at that dinner, looking at the seven boys, all of whom individually are going through something critical in a life chapter, whether it's a struggle, a graduation, and a new beginning, questions of where they're going, what's the plan, I want to say something to these boys, and it doesn't sound very graduation-y. But I want to apologize on behalf of the United States and the adults who should have been a hell of a lot more proactive, a lot more aware, a lot more reactionary, and shown a lot more leadership in these last several years because we have failed them. Watching these congressional hearings yesterday, they continue every single day. As we hear how elected officials in our government believe that they are bigger than the Constitution, that they are protected by their own secret society of bribery and blackmail, the secret club that they're all in that you are not, and they believe that they are above all of it. They believe that they can ignore evidence that Alejandro Mayorkas willfully defied his duties as the head of our homeland and its security. And we have a Senate that decided unilaterally with the majority to not even hear the stories of women who have been raped, the children who have been molested, sold into servitude, the number of people who have died trying to get into our country. And our Senate didn't think that we needed to hear that evidence. They just said, no, we're not going to do that. For the first time in more than 200 years, they decided to break with the Constitution and go home. It's more than a middle finger to you. It is a middle finger to your children and grandchildren. We don't care. We never did care. And the only joke here is that you thought we did, and we never did. And I want to apologize to those seven young men at that graduation night. And I want to look them in the eyes and say, the destiny of this country is going to depend a lot on you and the choices that you make. The people you find, the friends you make, the paths that you follow, and your ability quickly on a dime to pivot, because we have to pivot. What we've been doing hasn't been working, and the monster has grown larger, more demanding, more insatiable, with such gall to just walk away from the messes that they make. And I am so, so sorry for that. I wonder how much longer ago I could have awakened. I could have seen it. I could have taken action. Maybe there was some role I could have played, something I could have done to maybe stop this path. Because every way you look at it, it looks as though it's just destruction, purposeful, plain and simple. The dismantling of extraordinary opportunity and freedom that men died for, so that we can be here to fritter it away. And I want to say sorry. You guys got dragged through COVID as the adults in the room lost their minds, lost their common sense, their ability to see clearly and think rationally and step back and say, now, wait a minute. How many parents out there are just obliged the ridiculous and never done before mandates at their schools? And have unknowingly done who knows what possible damage to their children. We abandoned you. I want to say to my son and his cousins and brothers, everything got taken from you. And in its place, we gave you a phone. We gave you a phone for 24 access to pornography, trafficking, drugs, and content that, by the way, is not fitting young men and women. And we gave it to you in the grocery store so you could have something to occupy yourself while we bought food for the week. And you became a clone trooper. And we're sorry. This is how I feel today, ladies and gentlemen. But see, the message I want to get across is that of the pivot. There comes that critical point in all of our lives where we realize the path we're on is not nourishing us. You don't wake up and you're not excited. Your heart doesn't race for anything. Food doesn't taste the way it should. And nothing seems as bright as it used to. That's called the pivot point. And it is time to pivot. And it's not enough to discuss it. It's not enough for Republicans in the House or the Senate to talk on the floor about it. There must be action. There must be change. Is it the Convention of States? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. But I'll tell you this. When legislators in California vote down a measure to keep children from being purchased for the extent of sex with adults, if we have people who are elected leaders who think that's unreasonable, that children should be protected from being sexual slaves of adults, we long ago lost the battle. And for that, to my sons and my nephews, I am sorry. It's almost like the deficit, my friends. It looks so gargantuan, $34 trillion. How are you ever going to get out of that hole? It starts with day one. It starts with this today, acknowledging that from our own complacence, our own blindness, our own corruption, or what have you, we weren't there to stop the crazy. It's time to pivot. And you're going to hear the voices from whom we must. It's serious. And I think all of us need to have these conversations. Mine at graduation with a captive audience of my closest family on my side to say, folks, we got to talk. Quick time out when we're back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, my friends. Something happened at Google yesterday. I'm not a fan of Google. Not a fan of what they do to conservatives, how they suppress search results for things that you and I value and hold dear. But they did something unusual yesterday, and I'm wondering if maybe we could take a note from it. I'll tell you what happened and how sniveling, protesting, crybaby leftists got sucked up in it. Fantastic. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So this is so fascinating. You know, it's amazing if you show a show of force, if you push back against people who are blocking traffic. Did you guys get any of the video of these protesters last weekend? You know, they were blocking the bridges, the airports, main thoroughfares. It's so preposterously frustrating. And then there was this big guy who throws his truck in park and gets out of his truck and drags by the shirt and by the arms, drags the protesters off the road and like literally whoosh, throws them off to the curb. We have gotten to that point. It is time to pivot, right? I had said many years ago, all you got to do is show one show of force, take down one demonstration, however you do it, whether you do it with water, whether you do it with smoke, whether you do it with pepper spray, whether you do it with noise, whether you do it with rubber bullets, whatever it is, take it down, devastating takedown, done. You don't have to kill anybody unless they do something, right? Show of force. You know what people see with that? They're like, well, you know, maybe I don't want to get clubbed by a cop by being a ne'er-do-well. Maybe I'll think this over. Well, this is what happened at Google. Shocking. I know, right? My face blowing off. New York Post headline. Google fires 21 employees involved in a sit-in protest over this contract to give Israel access to the cloud. Right? So they can have all of the streaming, all of the stuff that you and I have. Apparently, Google is working with Israel. They've got this thing. It's $1.2 billion. It's pretty big, right? And there's some sniveling jags who are workers at Google, right? Minion Googlers who are products of the college system. These are white, sniveling, college-educated leftists who believe that out of school, they should have six figures, 4 weeks vacation, an IRA, right? Full dental. Why not? How about you sit your butt down and shut up? How about that, right? That's what Google just said. Google has fired 28 employees over their participation in a 10-hour sit-in at the search giant's offices in New York and Sunnyvale, California, to protest the company's business ties with the Israel government, right? Good for Google. I don't even like Google. I think Google sucks in many ways. Google sucks. And by the way, did you hear all of the jurors seated so far in Donald Trump's hush money case in Manhattan? All of them get their news from Google. Google, which we know gives preferential placement when you search stuff to Democrat candidates, Democrat progressive policies and websites. And they take conservatives and they bury them. You have to hunt and peck, go back like 10 pages on purpose. I'm not a fan. This is how you get crybabies out of the way. The pro-Palestinian staffers, how much do you want to bet they wouldn't even be able to find the Gaza Strip on a map? Guaranteed. Then, if you really wanted to be crazy, you could go with the show me where Ukraine is map. This is who these people are. We're gonna try to snarl everything and piss everybody off. Well, they have. These staffers who donned traditional Arab headscarves as they stormed and occupied the office of the top executives in California Tuesday. They were terminated 24 hours later after an internal investigation. They took over office spaces. They defaced our property, physically impeded the work of other Googlers. These are crybabies who needed to be spanked, who were wrapped in bubble wrap with helicopter parents who told them that they were special. And they've graduated to Google. Yippee! Their behavior was unacceptable, extremely disruptive, and made coworkers feel threatened. This is the Google Vice President of Global Security speaking. How about this? In New York, protesters had occupied the 10th floor of Google's offices in the Chelsea section of Manhattan as part of a protest that also extended to the company's offices in Seattle for what it called No Tech for Genocide Day of Action. Sit down! Go get a different job, you sniveling progressive twits. Knock it off. If I looked at a news report and I found one of my sons photographed, they were all wearing masks too, which tells you everything you need to know. Hopefully they're all germaphobes who go home and scrub, right? If I saw any of my children doing any of these ridiculously petulant plays, I personally would fly out to where they are, grab them by the ear, and drag them back to my home where I can deprogram and recreate. This stops at home. This stops with you. This is the graduation dinner conversation. This is the open lines of communication with your children. This is where you say, I want you to look at this. I want you to read this. I want you to tell me what you think about this, because this is coming to a workplace near you. This is why young men can't find young women, because they're all off the leftist cliff. If you're more worried about putting fake blood on your body to protest abortion than you are to go out and make a difference in the world, you've got problems. And Google acknowledged those problems. And so they excised them like a tumor before it could metastasize and spread. The fired staffers are affiliated with a group called No Tech for Apartheid, which has been critical of Google's response to the Israel-Hamas war. This is like the people at Netflix getting all whacked out over Dave Chappelle and his jokes in his specials about the transgender population. Who in the hell are you? You work for us. Pack up and go home. Time to pivot and to remember how to parent again. At least one small hat tip for Google. They still suck, but they did the right thing. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, holy cow, this is already going by so fast. Democrats decide in just 3.5 hours that they are above the law. That's what Chuck Schumer and company did. All of them. A finger in your eye. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. Anybody who wants to talk about a threat to democracy who's a Democrat can suck it. That's a little acerbic out of the gate, and I mean it 100% on steroids. Stop telling us all these other things that are nonsense are threats to democracy. Misinformation, malinformation, disinformation. Threat to democracy. Anything Donald Trump. Threat to democracy. Anything MAGA. Meanwhile, what democracy? You don't live in a constitutional republic, ladies and gentlemen, anymore. When you have members of Congress who believe they are bigger than the Constitution. We witnessed yesterday an official insurrection in the United States Senate when 51 Democrat senators voted down, waved away two articles of impeachment against Alejandro Mayorkas, who's created such a, I don't even know. I don't know what the word is. Because crap show comes to mind, but it's really not even close enough. A maelstrom, a hurricane of awful consequence for all of us. The expense of these people that now we're all saddled with, the safety and security issues, the drugs, the human trafficking, the deaths. Do you guys know that they find three bodies a day at the southern border? Three at a minimum? It's not like a every now and again thing. It's every damn day. Go to the border. Look at the river. There floats a body. This isn't an exaggeration. This party that is all about humanity, root causes, this inhumane system that they inherited. They ruined democracy. They stole it. They flushed it. They gave you the middle finger and they screwed our kids. And all 51 Democrats yesterday in the Senate said, we're going to do something that has never been done in 227 years. Of congressional history. We are going to refuse to do our jobs and listen to the evidence that the House wants to present to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. They said, no. No. Mm-mm. Bye-bye. And they went home. And you know who went home with them? The media. They didn't stay in the chamber and listen to the evidence that has been painstakingly gathered over the course of the last 3 years. They couldn't be trifled with listening to their colleagues chronicle the despair, the death, the destruction of humanity. Because of Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas, they left. Every single woman who has been raped, every child who has been sold or lost, whose organs have been taken from them, they don't care. Headline Washington Examiner, Schumer succeeds in killing off Mayorkas impeachment trial before it can begin. These Senate Democrats believe that lying to Congress is not impeachable, even though Bill Clinton was in fact impeached for it. And then you know what happened then? They presented evidence, which is constitutionally required. And the Senate heard the evidence. And they acquitted Bill Clinton of that impeachable offense. But there was a process. And yesterday, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats told everybody in this country, specifically your children and grandchildren, we don't care at all. And every single cabinet member on Joe Biden's team just got the green light to lie to Congress, to continue being a scumbag, insider trade, enrich, keep the gravy train going. I want you to hear Ted Cruz. It was one of the most powerful 14 minutes I have listened to in a while. And I listened to it in its entirety getting ready for the show today. I'm in the bathroom and I put in my AirPods and I listen to Ted Cruz. And he speaks from the heart, off the cuff, 14 minutes, no uhs, no ums, no fumbles, because he can taste it. It's his state. He's watching it. I want you to hear the first 3 minutes as all of the Democrats have left. They won't even listen. They won't engage in conversation because they don't care. Go.
Sorry to say that my friend from Kansas is not wrong. In the 237 years of our nation's history, I don't know that there has been a more shameful day in the United States Senate than today. What we just witnessed was a travesty. It was a travesty to the United States Constitution, and it was a travesty to the American people. And it's important to understand why the Democrats did what they did. We're here on the Senate floor right now, but I want the record to reflect. I'm going to do a very accurate count of the number of Democrats who are with us. That would be zero, other than the presiding officer, and somebody has to preside. Not a single Democrat senator chose to come to this floor and listen to one word of evidence. When it comes to the Constitution, the Democrats concluded that Joe Biden and Alejandro Mayorkas, defying federal law, ignoring the text of the statute, deliberately releasing criminal illegal aliens over and over and over again, that's just hunky-dory. You can't impeach him for that. Every Democrat just voted. By the way, every cabinet member, guess what? You've just been given a blank slate. Ignore the law. When Democrats are in charge of the Senate, the entire cabinet could ignore the law. It is no longer impeachable in Democrat wonderland when a member of the executive branch openly defies the law. By the way, every Democrat just voted that way. They didn't hear one word of argument. The majority leader didn't stand up and say, here's the reason why it's okay. No, he didn't present that argument. They didn't read a brief. Nobody wrote a brief. They didn't care enough to know what Senator Lee just laid out, that the Biden Department of Justice went in front of the U.S. Supreme Court and said, if the executive defies the law, the answer is impeachment. The willingness of every Democrat to be blatantly hypocritical. Just last year, the Biden Justice Department said, no, you can't sue in court. When we, the Biden administration, defy the law, the answer is impeachment. And like three-card Monte, every Senate Democrat said, no, the answer is not impeachment. I don't know what it is. Actually, I do know what it is. There's only one answer left, which is everyone who is unhappy about the open border shows up in November, and to use the phrase, throw the bums out.
The impeachment proceedings yesterday ended in under 4 hours, breaking with the historic precedent of holding a trial on the rare occasion a government official has been impeached by the House. The Senate just told every single one of you who made mention to your state representative, who made it known, this is an insufferable system, and we are done. Those 51 Democrat senators said, screw you. Mayorkas had been the first cabinet official to be impeached since the Civil War. What happened yesterday on Capitol Hill was an insurrection. It was an overthrow of more than 200 years of history, of law, and of precedent. And your Democratic Party said, they don't care. The Senate convened at 1 p.m. Senators were sworn in as jurors. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer moved a vote that the first article of impeachment against Mayorkas was unconstitutional, effectively dismissing it. That article, by the way, willful defiance of the law. It is his job, Mayorkas, as the Secretary of Homeland Security, to secure the homeland. And 9 million people in 3 years is not secure. And Chuck Schumer said, meh, we disagree. The vote was 51-48-1, with all Democrats voting in favor of quickly killing off the first charge against Mayorkas. All Republicans voted no, except, wake the hell up, Alaska. You must do better. Lisa Murkowski, who voted present. What a shill. What a hack. Schumer then made a similar effort to dispose of the second and final article of impeachment against Mayorkas, which was knowingly making false statements, which is a felony. Meh. No. The second vote passed 51-49, and Schumer requested that the Senate adjourn. The impeachment proceedings were done before 4:30 p.m. They could hit freaking happy hour. And the Democrats and the hacks in the mainstream media packed up. And they took off. There was no one in the rafters in the gallery looking down, covering what the Republican senators were presenting as evidence. They don't care. They don't. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, hack, took to the floor after Republicans failed to force a trial and lamented, oh, I'm sure he was torn up. Lamented that Democrat strategy had set a very unfortunate precedent. It's not a proud day in the history of the Senate, McConnell said. Hey, Mitch, it's not been a good day for you guys in years. Years. So there you go, my friends. Coming to a neighborhood near you, someone you don't know, whose history you have no knowledge of, who could be up to God knows what. The police aren't coming, and nobody's going to be held accountable. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, cataclysmic, that's how I would describe the drop in support for Joe Biden from one specific voting block. And it ties in specifically to this Mayorkas stuff. I got it for you. Don't miss it next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. I need the singing, guys. Hold on. Let it go. Here we go. Ready? There you go. You know, I saw this. Cataclysmic drop in Latino support is a serious threat to Joe Biden. Now, we've heard about the black vote. And there's this weird divide. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm on estrogen island at my house. I'm awash in testosterone, right? I don't understand what is so hard for women to see the light. Why men so much more quickly see what's really going on. Black men long ago started pulling away from Biden and going towards Donald Trump. Now we're starting to see the young black women doing the same. But the men eclipse them hugely. What's going on? Why are Latinos, particularly Latino men, waking up to all this? Do you think people who are in this country, who've become citizens, who vote in our elections lawfully, who pay taxes, do you think that they're down with this open door policy and all of the welfare that it's generating? Of course not. But I didn't expect it to be this major. Here you go. Breitbart.com. Joe Biden faces serious threat from Donald Trump gaining Latino voters. So it's not so much that just alone that Joe Biden's losing the support. You couple that with Donald Trump gaining it, add those two numbers together, and Joe's sucking some wind. Data shows that President Joe Biden faces a serious threat from Latino voters abandoning him in favor of former President Donald Trump. Well, hello? Of course. Wake up. I need you badly, Biden told Mexican restaurant patrons in March in Phoenix. I need the help. You're the reason why, in large part, I beat Donald Trump. If you're still believing that, Joe, good luck, my man. Good luck. Did you guys see him, by the way, trying to do the Trump thing when Trump went to the bodega in Harlem? And the people there went nutty? And it was a complete menagerie of people. It was a melting pot tapestry of America, right? And they were all excited to see him. So the Biden campaign, because they do not have an original idea, sort of like the media that all beat the same dead horse and suck. The Democratic Party's got nothing. They can defend nothing. They can't go on offense because nobody wants to attend the game, right? So they trot Joe Biden out wearing his stupid aviators. My man, take them off. You're old and senile, and everybody knows it. You walk like a robot, and nobody cares. He walked into some place, looked like a fast food restaurant, have no idea where it was, don't care. Because he thought he would just make an impromptu visit, just like Donald Trump. Here, we'll get a couple cameras, right? We'll get some campaign video. Sounds good. Except nobody cared when he walked in. They were like, so what? There are three kids sitting there, and he walks up to them creepily. I'm like, oh, my man, if he touches one of those girls, I swear. And they look at him like, who the hell is this, and why do we care? Can I have my milkshake now, Mom? Then he like zombie walks to the back and walks into like the kitchen. Nobody cares. 81 million votes, my butt. Latino men are the reason why the key demographic is increasingly supporting Donald Trump. This is what the Hill's reporters are acknowledging. Biden's support among Latinos. This is huge. Since he assumed office, right? So 3 years plus. Biden's support among Latinos has dropped by 12 points. That's like Trump. I never was able to do that bomb sound. It was always the guys that could do that. So frustrating. Trump has increased his Latino support 8 points. Net swing, rudimentary math is working, 20 points. Guys, that's awful for the Democrats. Awful. In addition, Biden only holds 50% support among Latinos, while Trump support has grown to 41%. A high number for any Republican, of course. Most noteworthy, of course, is that Biden is tanked, says this guy who's a senior vice president of public affairs at Ipsos, one of the polling things, right? Ipsos polling also found that among Latinos, Trump gained 29 points on Biden since he assumed office in 2021. What? Biden only holds a 3-point lead among those who intend to vote in November. Trump also holds a 22-point lead over Biden on who can handle the costly economy. What do you think? Did you like it before it sucked? Or do you now like the suck? Which one is it? Well, I don't know, said nobody who's telling the truth. Trump also holds an 11-point lead on reducing soaring crime. Of course, despite all of Joe Biden's pleas, and when he's not yelling, like a deranged, senile old man, this trend might not be reversible, apparently. Ongoing political realignment is upending Biden's 2024 intersectional coalition. What does that even mean? Because in my mind, I'm all about America. I don't care what you look like, right? If you're on Team America, you're about American values. You're about America first. You're about telling the truth. I'm with you. Intersectionality. You know what? It's not complicated. None of this is complicated. Democrat inroads with Black, Latino, and Asian voters has deteriorated to the lowest point in 60 freaking years. Polling from Gallup, Siena College, and the Wall Street Journal recently revealed Hispanic and Black men could vote for Donald Trump in proportions not seen in American politics since the 1950s. All right, don't go anywhere. I like giving you those little newsy updates, right? Coming up. So where was the National Guard in Washington, D.C. on January 6th? Well, we heard from people who were part of the National Guard who were in the room with the Pentagon. And they testified. Do not miss this story next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.